Is some of the Lord Jesus. All glories to the Son of the Lord Jesus. All glories to the Son of the Lord Jesus. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Sri Guru. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Yat
Pada
Seva Dhiruchis
Tapasvinam
Asesha
Janmo
Pachitam
Malam
Dhiya
Sadhya
Shinoti
Anvaham
Ehati
Sati
Yata
Parangushta
Vinishrita
Sharit
Yat Pada Seva Dhiruchi Tapasvinam Asesha Janmo Pachitam Malam Dhiya Sadyakshinotyanvaham etadi sati
Yata
parangushta vinishrita sarita
Yat
para seva viruchis tapasvinam Asesha janmo pachitam malam dhiya Sadyakshinotyanvaham etahi sati Yata parangushta vinat vinishrita sarit
Sadyakshinotyanvaham etati sati
Yatpada.
Yatpada.
Whose lotus feet?
Whose lotus feet?
Seva.
Seva.
Service.
Service.
Abhiruchi.
Abhiruchi.
Inclination.
Inclination.
Tapasvinam.
Tapasvinam.
Persons undergoing severe penances. Ashesha,
Ashesha,
innumerable. Janma,
Janma,
birth.
Birth.
Upachitam,
Upachitam,
acquire. Malam,
Malam,
dirtiness.
Dhiya,
mind.
Sadhya,
immediately.
Shinoti,
destroys. Anvaham, day after day. Adha, Aidhati, increasing. Sati,
being.
Yata,
as.
Pada Angushta, the toes of his lotus feet. Vinishrita,
emanating from.
Sharit,
water.
Translation. By the inclination to serve the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, suffering humanity can immediately cleanse the dirt which has accumulated in their minds during innumerable births. Like the Ganges water, which emanates from the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord, such a process immediately cleanses the mind, and thus spiritual or Krishna consciousness gradually increases. Purport. In India, one can actually see that a person who takes a bath in the Ganges waters daily is almost freed from all kinds of diseases. A very respectable Brahmana in Calcutta never took a doctor's medicine. Even though he sometimes felt sick, he would not accept medicine from the physician, but would simply drink Ganges water, and he was always cured within a very short time. The glories of Ganges water are known to Indians and to ourselves also. The river Ganges flows by Calcutta. Sometimes within the water there are many stools and other dirty things which are washed away from neighboring mills and factories. But still, thousands of men take bath in the Ganges water, and they are very healthy as well as spiritually inclined. That is the effect of Ganges water. The Ganges are glorified because it emanates from the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord. Similarly, if one takes to the service of the lotus feet of the Lord or takes to Krishna consciousness, he is immediately cleansed of the many dirty things which have accumulated in his innumerable births. We have seen that in spite of the very black record of their past lives, persons who take to Krishna consciousness become perfectly cleansed of all dirty things and make spiritual progress very swiftly. Therefore, Prithu Maharaj advises that without the benediction of the Supreme Lord, one cannot make advancement, either in so-called morality, economic development, or sense gratification. One should therefore take to the service of the Lord, or Krishna consciousness, and thus very soon become a perfect man. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma Shashvat Chantim Nigachati. Being a responsible king, Prithu Maharaj recommends that everyone take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus be immediately purified. Lord Sri Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita that simply by surrendering unto him, one is immediately relieved of all sinful reactions. As Krishna takes away all the sinful reactions of a person immediately upon his surrender unto him, similarly the external manifestation of Krishna, the representative of Krishna who acts as the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, takes all the resultant actions of the sinful life of the disciple immediately after the disciple's initiation. Thus, if the disciple follows the principles instructed by the spiritual master, he remains purified and is not contaminated by material infection. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore stated that the spiritual master, who plays the part of Krishna's representative, has to consume all the sinful reactions of the Lord, that one will advance in any direction, materially or spiritually, and since we always put the material as secondary, we don't discuss it much. But occasionally like this, then it has to be brought out, lest we forget that there is no material plan that will make you materially successful. Not one. Not even a part of one. Not even a drop of one. It's only by the grace of the Lord, by following His directions, that you get any benefit. Otherwise, the same. Why is it one person gets one benefit and the same person does the other? They get a different benefit. Right? For example, one person, he's getting benefit in his life by following the laws of God. He writes it in a book, and other people try to follow it, don't know that that's actually what they're doing, think it's some tricks, and they're never successful. Not one of them. Why not? Because unless you act according to the direction of the Supreme Lord, you will not be successful in Dharma, religious duties, your emotional interactions, your relationships. If it's not based on the directions of the Lord, you will not be successful. Artha, getting money, getting facility, justice, morality, they're not going to happen unless the Lord's plea. Sense gratification, you're not going to get it. It's not going to happen. And moksha definitely is not going to happen. So it's just being pointed out here. It's not a major emphasis because it's a secondary point for the devotees. The primary is the Krishna consciousness. So he's giving the example, if that one is always absorbed in thinking of the Lord, then one will become purified, whatever the situation. So the example is giving of the Ganges. One is bathing the Ganges, but there's all kinds of dirty things there. But still one is purified. So now before he has pointed out the performance of one's prescribed duties. These prescribed duties are performed in connection with the Lord. The Lord is pleased, and all facilities come. One becomes attached to the Lord, one gradually increases in Krishna consciousness. Now those dirty things are the stuff that's coming from the neighboring mills and factories. So what's coming from the neighboring material environment, that's what's creating the dirtiness, because we're attracted to it, we're attached to it. So all those things in the world that we have that attraction and attachment to, those are the impurities within the process of devotional service, right? That's what's mixed. But because of the connection with the Lord, because the Ganges has touched the lotus feet of the Lord, therefore it purifies. That's the way it is. Because if we don't accept that, oh, it's dirty, how can it be pure? Then that means there is no hope for us to advance in devotional service. Because unless devotional service means pure, unalloyed love of God, nothing less. So, what's the scope? Gross materialism, pure unalloyed devotion. There are examples. The gopis surrendered in a moment. Maharaj Katvanga, it has happened. But I take it that we're all sitting here performing the process of sadhana bhakti, that it hasn't necessarily happened for us. Right? And if it has, you're setting an extremely good example. Does this make sense? So, the idea is that by the performance of one's prescribed duties, as given by the Lord in Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, that's what's going to, how one will advance. It's not because the aspects themselves are good. It's not because, yes, the Vedic system, it's a system of piety, that's why I'm progressing. No, it has nothing to do with that. Devotional service is not under the control or supported by karma and jnana. The performance of our prescribed duties supports us, not devotional service. We're the ones attached to the material environment. So Krishna's arranged that you can use that material environment, whatever you have, in His service. That's the concept. So by using that in His service, that's where we get purified. We're going to use it for ourselves. So the results are for ourselves. So not much benefit. But if the results are for Krishna, that means those activities that gain the results become a means of purification. Right? That's the idea. So that's the advantage. So, because we call it pastimes, right? Past times means that there are somebody, according to their taste, sets the rules. So in our mind, we're the one who sets the rules. But in actuality, it's God's pastimes. We can only take part. We don't control the past. That's why we say we're under the modes. We're controlled by them. You see something, you're controlled by it. You're really hungry, see something to eat, then the modes of nature make that you eat it. We're thinking, no, I'm independent. I ate it on my own. No, you didn't. Right? The food made you eat it. Right? Maybe this is what they're talking about when they say, devil made me do it. Right? You know? Yeah, so it's very different than how we perceive. That's the problem, is that Krishna consciousness is trying to establish that the perception is very, very different. We're thinking, like here, well, we're going to the temple, I'm going to see the deities. No, we're going there to be seen by the deities. What we'll see with our material eyes, what are you going to see? Right? So, the point is, if the Lord sees you, and He's pleased, then you get benefit. Then you advance. Just seeing the Lord, I mean, Kamsa also saw the Lord. And he wasn't really happy with what he saw. You know? Like that. So it's not a matter of seeing with the senses. It's a matter of being seen and being able to take part in that process of being seen. Right? In other words, we're seeing opportunities to take part in what Krishna sees. Does that make sense? Devotees are there. Devotees do service for Krishna. So we can see the opportunity. We can see Krishna, we can see the devotee. So we see the opportunity that devotional service can be performed. So we're able to see the opportunities and then take part in those opportunities. But it's not us that's seeing. Right? Universal form. He sees first, then we see. So what you see is, seeing is not our power, it's Krishna's power. So He allows us to be able to see what He sees. Now the difference is He sees it in connection with Himself, we see it in connection with ourself. So we bring how our seeing of what the Lord sees in line with what how the Lord perceives it, then one takes up the devotional process. Right? That's the reality of what's going on. We all have our own ideas of what's going on. But that's not what's going on. So here he's saying that this process, because it's touched to the lotus feet of the Lord, therefore it becomes special. So any your prescribed duties, your activities, whatever they are, in Dharma, Artha, Karma, and Moksha, they become purified and they elevate you to the platform of devotional service because of their touch to the Lord, not because they themselves have some inherent power. Right? So making money, management, your arts, your knowledge, these itself will not gain you the Lord. But used as mediums, like the Ganges, right? By regularly taking part, one is purified. That's the process. Right? Now we may say, no, but it's material. But if it's material, why are we doing it? Right? It can't be spiritual. So then what is? Okay, chanting the holy name, but when it says 24 hours a day, then what are you doing about it? Right? Japa's hour and a half, 2 hours, and then? What about the other 22 hours? Right? Arjuna's hair was chanting. He's asleep. You go up, you can listen. His hair is chanting. Right? So, the point is this is the environment we're in. We use the environment we're in. Mother Jashoda uses her house to serve Krishna. Right? The cowherd boys and the gopis use the forest to serve Krishna. It's the environment they're in. They have a spiritual environment because they see everything in connection to Krishna. We have a material environment because we don't. When we use everything in relationship to Krishna, then we're doing exactly what they're doing in the spiritual world. One can say, no, this is not spiritual, but that's mundane vision. Because otherwise we're going to say, it's just water. And not only that, it's dirty water. But it says, all those cultured and educated, they're taking back. So in this way then, their conditioned nature is being engaged. And like the Ganges, one is becoming purified gradually, step by step. That's the idea. So he's recommending everyone does this. And so that means what's touched to the Lord. And now how do we touch to the Lord? That's through the spiritual master. Right? He's the representative of the Lord. So you can say it is a post. Right? The potency is the Lord. And then just as you cook for Krishna, so the most important element is your consciousness. But also there's the element of how good you are at cooking. Right? But the ability to cook, the direction that we are able to do that is coming from the Lord through the spiritual master. Right? So this is the Vaya Media. So through that, then we are able to see. So as the Ganges has touched the lotus feet of the Lord, our connection with devotional service is through the spiritual master. We're not going to be touching the lotus feet of the Lord directly. It's by the grace of the spiritual master. So therefore, if one follows the instructions of the spiritual master and engages one's life, that's what makes everything move forward. Step by step. And then it's recommended, just as there may be so much volume. Krishna doesn't have a problem. He can purify the whole cosmic creation. But we, in our duties, we have our limitations. And if we understand it as a post that has power, then it will go more nicely the better our qualifications. But we have to understand, it still works. Even if the qualification isn't great. The government official, still, he stamps your paper, legal, authorized. He doesn't stamp your paper. It doesn't matter what his character is. He doesn't stamp your paper, you don't get anything. It's just the way it works. And if you complain and go to the minister above him, he'll say, you go to the secretary and get the paper stamped. No, but he's not so nice. So what? He's got the stamp. I gave him the stamp. Go get the stamp. It's the way it works. We may not like it, but it's the way everything in our life is. Every absolute thing is. And ourselves. We're doing service. Is it perfect? If it's perfect, it's called pure, unalloyed devotional service. If it's not called pure, unalloyed devotional service, there's something less than perfect. Or let's say, supreme perfect. Because liberation is also perfect. Does that make sense? Conditioning has no perfection about it. Nothing. There is nothing good about conditioning. Even if fine, best quality 24 karat, finely, made gold ornaments, it's still mundane. Being Lord Brahma, you're still in the material world and you'll stay until you surrender to the Lord, until devotional service. It's just the way it is. So understanding that, you put it into perspective, then as I'm doing my best, everyone else is trying to do their best. That's one point that comes out here, Maharaj Prithu's discussion. It's all about the group effort. The person who directs it, the person who supports it, and the person who executes it, they all get the same benefit. Right? So here, activities have been authorized. The Vaishnavas support it. You do it. You get the same benefit. Because otherwise, if we're going on, unless they're nitya siddha, pure unalloyed, this and that, then who are we to be their disciples? What is our qualification? And I guarantee you, coming out of the gutter is not one of them. You know? We see these amazing stories in the, you know, the Vedic literatures and literatures of the Acharya. People born in high-grade Brahmin families who've been practicing their whole life, born by Garbhodhan. Right? And at the very young age, you're absorbed in complete devotional activities, which we will say, oh no, let them play, don't make it too serious for them. You know? You don't want to ruin their childhood. That's called no qualification. But these people had great qualifications. Then you can say, yes, that's why, you know, Narottam became, you know, this devotee's disciple, you know. Then you can say, yes, this is something special, great. But I don't think we can make any of those claims. You know, some of the kids can say Garbhodhan. But what is our claim? So that's the thing, is we can't drive, right? And then we're demanding that, you know, unless we get, you know, the Ferrari, you know, the top of the line, then, you know, it's not worthy of us. This is the problem, is our vision is wrong. The vision is Krishna's vision. How does Krishna see it? It doesn't really matter how we see it. It absolutely doesn't, because it's just the modes of nature. Unless it's in line with Krishna's vision, it is the modes of nature. And even that, though we will be so proud and identify with it, it's even not ours, because everybody else on the planet sees it the same way. So it's nothing unique and special. So we have to be very, very clear here, is that the touching of whatever we do in our life, if it's touched to Krishna, it becomes special. So it's not just chanting our japa. It's anything in our life. Chanting the japa will, of course, give you the best results because it's directly Krishna. These other things, it's still Krishna, but it's through his Brahman and Paramatma expansions. But it's still Krishna. And if we can't see this, we'll never be able to appreciate Vaishnavas, you know, the actual, how glorious is devotional service, and that it can be applied in anything in our life. Like Prabhupada's saying, the pure devotee, you know, even passing urine is devotional service. Right? Does that make sense? So this is the point, is that it has to be able to be applied everywhere. So we have this deistic kind of approach that only those, you know, supremely pure and nice and whatever I deem as nice, that can be connected to Krishna. Anything I don't deem as nice can never be connected to Krishna. Then we're going to have problems. Because he's saying, do your duties in connection with the Lord. So whatever that is, what's appropriate for your position, you do that, you'll become perfect. For someone else, that's not their duties, they won't become perfect by doing it. That's why Krishna says, better to do yours imperfectly than someone else's perfectly, because you will be able to have the right mentality. Right? If I say I can do someone else's perfectly, that means the skill. But if it's not my duty, I can never have the right mentality to do it. You know? That's the point. Like, you have people, they are expert at oration. They can give amazing lectures. It's just like, it's amazing how they can speak. But what they're speaking doesn't necessarily have any value. Right? So, it's a brahminical job, but why are they doing it? Because they're not talking about the Lord, they're not talking about Shastra. Or even if they're talking about Shastra, they're not talking in parampara. So it's not their duty. But as far as skill, it's perfect. So we can see his mentality is more important than skill. Though in the modern concept, it's the up backwards. If you have the skill, then as long as everyone can tolerate you, it works. But in the Vedic system, it's all about the mentality. Because when you talk about a person, your relationship with the person, you have a relationship with their mentality, not their skills. That's why the modern, economically, seemingly, things go prosper. But as far as relationships go, it's not working. Why? Because you have a relationship, people have a relationship with the skill. How deep is that? That's what's meant by shallow relationship. Right? The mentality is what it's all about. So when he says, take shelter, therefore, whatever your situation, you take shelter of the Lord, that situation becomes perfect. So it's accessible to everyone. It's universal. It's the only thing that's universal. And we toy around at certain modern, contemporary methods are more universal. That's called material vision. It's not spiritual. Spiritual means it's connected to the Lord. And I mean connected, not that you thought about it 20 years ago and it was connected. I mean right now you're thinking, therefore it's connected. You're not thinking it's not connected. You know, unless you can give the result at the end, but unfortunately nowadays, where's the result? So what are you going to give? So then better to be Krishna conscious at every moment. That's sannyas. That's recommended greater than renunciation. Renunciation, you perform the activity, you may not be Krishna conscious, but at the end, you give the results to Krishna. But that's okay if you're expert and you're actually getting results. You're performing your duty for your nature, so you are getting results. Then you can give it to Krishna. Right? But if you're trying to do duties that aren't your duties, then you're not going to get a result, so how are you going to give anything to Krishna? Right? So better work on the mentality. Because the transcendental position is the actual real nature of the soul. The real occupational duty. So that, even if one doesn't have much material skill, one can be perfect in his life. In fact, that's the only way to be perfect. Any questions? Yes.
Sometimes you see people born in rich and influential circumstances. They're beautiful. So that means that they must have formed some past activities in the past birth and followed the laws of God. But then they turn out in this birth as rich and influential, they turn out as rascals who don't follow the laws of God. So my question is, I don't understand why they don't carry that piety from the last birth over into the new birth.
How long do you cook for? If you're cooking in preparation, how long do you cook?
An hour.
But I'm saying, what's the symptom that you don't need to cook anymore?
When it's finished.
And then what will you do with it?
Offer it.
And then?
Eat it.
Yes, okay. So the point is when something's edible, you don't cook it anymore. So they only perform, that's why we say in the material world there are no good qualities. Because someone only does a good quality up to the point they're getting the result they want. You know what I'm saying? The person who's out there, you know, and all the kids are coming out from the huts with the big smiles on their face because, you know, the people who are managing the thing are pointing out, oh, here's the lady who gave all the mosquito nets for all of you, right? And they come out and they all say hi and smile because they've been told beforehand that's what they're supposed to do. And so they're doing all these things and she's interacting and nice. Is she giving money at that moment? Is she doing anything for charity at that moment? No, she's only reaping the results of her charity. Now, if she goes there and the kids couldn't care less about her, is she going to give any more money? No. So actually, where is the good quality? Right? It's intelligent in that they understand good work gets good results, but it's still a mercantile mentality. So unless there's training, then having the facilities, then because one has facilities to control and enjoy, that's the reason we're here, then one becomes proud. Because you have the facility, you have the money, you have the influence, you have the social status, you have the beauty, you have the education. So others are trying to get that. You already have it, so you've already made it. But in the Vedic concept, there's no such thing as made it until it's called pure unalloyed devotional service. That's called made it. But then even then, they never stop. It's constantly going on. So this idea that I'll make it and then I can sit back and enjoy the results, that's a misconception born of the mode of ignorance that results last eternally. No, results only last for how much the work is done. I work 1 week, I get paid for 1 week, but I think I'll get paid for 1 week every week for eternity. No, you've worked 1 week, you get paid 1 week. So without training, so that's why you'll see is in, it means if you're looking in general, that those who are coming from families that are generally more, you could say, religious minded, and so there's training for the children, you can see them generationally having those qualities you talk about. But those who somehow or another worked hard, got some facility, then they may be a little bit sober about it, but their children aren't, because there is no training, because they simply think it's because of their work. And for the kids, work is, you got the results, what's the need of work, right? And they're not smart enough to know that you still have to maintain it, because that's the mode of goodness, that means knowledge. So, does that make sense? Yeah, so the point is one works, Krishna gives the results. So the point is anyone, anywhere on the planet who has good birth, beauty, knowledge, wealth, and social standing, it's only because of following God's laws. There's no other reason. And technically, if you really want to get into it, it's only because they've done something in connection with devotional service, if they have any amount of it. That's mentioned in the sixth canto. So the point is, but they simply see, I'm born rich. But they don't remember how hard they worked in previous lifetimes to be born rich. So therefore, out of ignorance, they think that karma doesn't apply. You know, devotees look at, well, the karmas are doing it, so they're successful. Like that. If they're so successful, we're looking at business models for management. If it's so successful, why is there a recession? If it's such a great model. You know what I'm saying? It's not a great model. Does that make sense? So the point is that you please the Lord by following His laws, not anyone else's. Then dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, you'll get. But for the devotee, that's not the important thing. It's simply facilities, right, to use in the Lord's service. If you're grihastha, then you have facilities, you can offer more things. Right? You can engage more. That's all. So you have that proclivity to be involved in those areas. So the Grihastha Ashram provides for that. That means there must be economic development. You know, there must be engagement of the senses. Does that make sense? You know, like that. You're offering nice foodstuffs to the Lord, so you're eating nice foodstuff. Right? So the senses are engaged. You have nice things. Right? But it's following the Lord's law that you have it. You don't follow, you don't have it. It's that simple. And it doesn't matter if you've taken up devotional service or not. The laws of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha are the same. And they're awarded by the same person. Just the materialist, he only gets the one benefit of following God's law. That is the material result. Right? While the devotee gets two. They do that, perform that activity to please Krishna, so they get devotional advancement and the material result. So, and the point is the pleasing of the Lord. That's the real point. Because getting material facility is nothing. Getting the Lord, now that's something special. When the Lord gives Himself, because there's nothing else He can offer, that's a value. Right? Krishna is mentioning to the gopi. He's indebted to, he has nothing else to give them. Right? Simply that love, pure unalloyed love for him, that's the only thing he can offer. Right? That they have expressed. So that's the topmost. The facilities aren't so important. The residents of Vrindavan have better facilities than Mathura, Dwarka, or Vaikuntha. But nobody really worries about it. Nobody cares. It's not that they neglect it, they take care of it because it's used in Krishna's service. But the opulence that they have that's so far beyond Vaikuntha, that's not of interest to them. So for them, facility simply means opportunities to serve Krishna. So that's what we're supposed to look for here. We look from Krishna's point of view, what is the opportunity to serve the Lord, rather than what is my opportunity to control and enjoy. Then it works. Does that make sense? And the material just comes on the side. So people, either by training or by accident, do the right thing, and they get the result. You know? But better, it's scientific. Vedic civilization, it's scientific. What are God's laws? Follow them. The modern, they call it science, but it's called hit and miss. You don't really call that science. I don't know what I'm doing, but you know, there's so many opportunities, and whatever is here, I'll use my intelligence and look at all the different elements. What could I do with, what are the possibilities? And so I try one possibility, it didn't work. I try another possibility, and then if I get something, oh, I see great, and then we say, oh, great scientist, so learned. It's hit and miss. You know what I'm saying? But we call that science. We call that quantum. Huh? Haphazard. Yes, haphazard. Yes, that's all it is. They just by accident happen upon it, and whoever happened upon it by accident, oh wow, he's a great man, like that, right? So yes, he's using intelligence, he's putting in effort, but it's out of all those 200 options that are there, only 3 of them actually are in line with God's laws. That's why they work, and the other, 197 don't. But they don't put that together. So if they studied Shastra, they'd be able to perform their hit and their haphazard speculation so much better. Because they already know how God functions. But better they don't, because then you have very sophisticated Vedic demons rather than, a bunch of haphazard, guys who think themselves very big until the next Forbes magazine comes out and then they're not so big anymore, right? So. Okay. Yes.
I hear you speaking about how it's what the Vaishnava support is what would reap a good result. And I find there's often a confusion about that. And one time, just recently, one young boy, he was saying that he was so adamant about it that the only purpose of a woman is to have children. And I thought, oh my God, this is, just, I don't know how he could come up with such a... And so I wanted you to speak...
No, that's the pious form of how all the other men in the world see women.
And so maybe you can speak about how the importance of parents is so crucial to children.
It means the point of parents is the training, but why is someone a parent? Because they have a particular need to be involved in that emotional exchange of the parent-child relationship, right? The point of anything in this world is how to connect it to Krishna and how to uplift yourself. Every body of knowledge is written so that you can be Krishna conscious by following. Unfortunately, people only see the technique and don't see the Krishna conscious purpose. But otherwise, all the shastras that people don't, the parental rasa, it is no different. It's simply meant to, interacting with the spouse in connection with the child. That's the actual point. The spouse in connection with the child. That's the actual point. But in this world, how many people even know that? Right? How many people know this? And so because of that attachment, they're not, that therefore they get attached, has to go this way and that, because they define that if this situation comes up, then the experience I'll gain is what I want. Rather than in this situation, I act according to the Lord's direction, the Lord being pleased, therefore the experience I'm looking for, which is being happy, will happen automatically. So it's not because the situation is how I want it to be, it's because the situation is how the Lord wants it to be. So that the parents are kind to the child and see to all their needs, that's the law. They do that, it works out nice. But the point is that means physical, emotional, you know, sensual and intellectual, and consciousness. How many deal with all four? So that's why on some level there'll be something, but on another level they'll not. You know, the child interacts now and again, especially when they're younger. So, you know, real small, yes, but then like 8 to 10, you know, it's a really great age. They interact really nice. There's enough intelligence, enough knowledge to be able to function socially very nicely. They haven't hit any, you know, anywhere near any symptoms of puberty. So, you know, there's no attitude. So it's a really great time. So, but the point is the Krishna consciousness element being applied in that they become Krishna conscious? Or it's simply that I'm telling them to be Krishna conscious because then I have control over this living entity? There's a difference. They're both connected to Krishna. But one is pure and one's mixed devotional service. You know what I'm saying? So these subtleties are what the Bhagavatam is showing. That's the thing, is we're stumbling over the gross stuff like Varnashram. Do we accept it or not? Does it apply to us or not? Is it valid in Kali Yuga or not? We as Westerners, does it apply to us or not? This is like, you know, this is like trying to figure out whether you should eat or not, or breathe, or you know, drink water. So the discussions about, you know, styles of cooking, refinements of the different things and seasonal, that doesn't even come into the picture. Right? So the parent then, if they are dealing in that way properly, in other words, if the child sees that the father is dealing with the mother based on the emotional content of the relationship, then he'll pick that up. But generally, we're just going very generally here. If there's a group of men and I say, what are the duties of women, right? Handle, be submissive to the husband. Anything else? You can add your one more that the kid mentioned. And that's it. Where was the sharing in the material attachments that one has by conditioning, and sharing in the process of engaging that in Krishna's service? I have not heard that come out of one mouth of one person embodied in the male form in 30 years of asking the question. Why? Because every man thinks the wife is just to control and just to serve. But the point is unless you are controlled, unless you serve, how are you going to get control and get service? Because if the husband leads and the wife follows, unless he's submissive and serves, why would she be submissive and serve? But it's no, she has to follow, but she is following. He looks at things externally. He only sees facilities and service. That's why she's only talking about money and house and facility. They're exactly the same. So when we say the apple doesn't fall very far, we mean both ways, into children and into the wife. The wife's exactly like the husband, and the husband doesn't...